Boom. Welcome to the Toddcast.
Hello, hello, everyone.
It is June 8th. John and Brian.
2015 tour.
Toddcasting. Ridiculous. All right, let's talk about some stuff coming up real quick. Lots of cool stuff coming up. Free t-shirt day. This Saturday, the
13th. I just sorted the t-shirts right now. We're good.
They're pretty cool.
They're not bad.
A lot of fat guy sizes this year.
A lot of fat guy sizes.
That is great. So, fat guys.
Come on out.
Get a Get a free t-shirt. $10 of anything. Pre-tax, post-discount. So, if you get a 10% discount and you try to buy something for $9.99.
Not going to work.
Not going to work.
You're going to have a bad tap.
If you try to buy something for $9.99, you better buy something else because that's a penny less than
$10. That's right.
So, you need to qualify. There's some pretty good shirts. They're going to start at 10 o'clock in the morning every single location. It's going to be cool. Come in. You only get one shirt, though. So if you know somebody who wants a nerd shirt with our logo on it, just come on in, have them buy something for $10. You can buy something for $10. Split your box, whatever. Split your purchase. I don't care. They get a nerd shirt too. Woohoo!
Yes, but you only get one. It's not increments of 10. If you spend $30, you do not get three shirts.
Right. You only get one. One per customer, and that's pretty much it. The Saturday after that.
But if you have a fast car. And you want to drive from location to location.
I can tell you for fact that you can hit all five locations in one day if you start at one and make a big circle. I can even tell you how the circle goes, but you're going to have to ask. But it's totally doable, and you can totally go in, buy $10 worth of stuff, and get a fat guy shirt everywhere. I really shouldn't say it like that, but like there are a lot of big sizes. Like it's a lot of XX, a lot of XXX.
Yeah.
There's a plethora of all sizes and colors and stuff.
We do. But we have a bunch. But yeah, the bulk.
The bulk of it is pretty big this time, and it's really weird because normally it's all like large and medium.
Yeah.
And now it's like extra large and up, and we're like, what? So. All right.
Anyway. We do actually have a small selection of kid sizes.
Oh yeah,
so that's
some
that's
cool
surprising.
Kids ones, yeah.
You know, so
have your kid come in and buy something for $10.
Let me just tell you, they're cool. Okay, John's already laughing at this because it's their Lego shirts. It's from the Lego Movie.
Right.
It's Emmett on one shirt, and then Wild Style on another, and our logo on the back. And we have there are youth sizes, like I think small, medium, and large. We only have a few of each, and they're going to spread out across the stores. I'm still upset that we don't have them in adult sizes because I would totally rock an Emmett or a Wild Style t-shirt.
Not to say that you could not squeeze yourself into one
of
those.
No one wants to see that.
But no one wants to see that. Exactly. So, all right. The Saturday after that, June 20th, artist Joe Wass is coming in. He's the guy that used to run the Toonzeum.
Oh, awesome.
He just this week is having Popeye Classic number... Oh, hold on. I got to look. 35. Popeye Classics 35 has his cover on it. So this whole month he's doing like a bunch of signings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be at C3 on June 20th from noon to 3, and then he's going to be at the Pittsburgh Mills from 5 to 8.
Awesome.
So you have two chances to meet him, two chances to hang out. You have limited chance to buy the book because it's Popeye Classics. It sells pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So come in, get number 35.
Get him to sign it.
I don't know if he's going to have extra there, but he does really awesome art. So come and check it out. He's done a lot of other stuff, too. There's so much of it. Hold on. Let me see if I can grab the full article here. He's done stuff with, like, Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, like, where he, like, did art as they painted. Oh. He's done The Three Little Pittsburghers, which is told in Pittsburghese.
Oh.
Which is hilarious. Okay. So that's really cool. He's also been a professional cartoonist since 14.
Wow.
So
The fact that it's professional since 14 is impressive.
Yeah.
It's not just I've been drawing since I was a kid. That's everyone does.
He's the cartoonist version of Jim Shooter.
Okay.
Only still lives in Pittsburgh. That's totally not where you thought I was going with that. Anyway, then we have Too Cool for Comic-Con Day come up in July, which also happens to be Magic Origins pre-release weekend. All right, so Too Cool for Comic-Con Day is it's a very weird thing we're trying to do. That entire week is San Diego Comic-Con. So that entire week...
Don't remind me.
So that entire week, all of our blind box comics at the front of all of our stores that are normally $40 are going to be $30 a box. Awesome. That whole week. So you can get like almost 300 comics for $30. That's cool. 10 cents a book.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. But you can't peek.
Yeah, no
peeking. On Too Cool for Comic-Con Day, specifically July 11th, we have a whole bunch of cool stuff to give out. Xenoscope, IDW, Valiant, they've all given us some cool free stuff. It's going to be very limited, but every store will have some. First come, first serve. You come in, you get a free thing from them.
Awesome.
From one of them. We're still waiting on a couple more feelers to come back to see if anyone else wants to help us out. If you wear a cape of any kind,
mm-hmm.
I don't care if you come in with a towel around your neck, if you come in with a napkin tied around your neck, if you have like toilet paper draped around your neck like a cape, it's a cape. 10% off your whole purchase all day.
Wow.
Okay. As long as you're wearing your cape.
And it has to stay on the entire time you're in
the store. You have to have it on when you come in. You have to have it on while you're shopping.
While you're shopping.
And you have to have it on when you check out. Those are the only three requirements of the cape. But they don't. It doesn't have to be anything cool. It can just be, you know, it doesn't have to look good. Yeah. It can literally be a bedsheet. It's about the fun of being a con kind of, because like not a lot of us have a lot of money to go out to San Diego and spend a week out there. We're going to do gaming events. We're going to have artists in every store.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I have a couple artists lined up. Give me 1 second. And
while you're looking that up, something I just saw on Twitter that kind of ties in is that Marvel will be doing cosplayer covers to their comics later this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I'm not sure if they're going to be tying in with like all the big names in cosplay, like Yaya Han and Jessica Nigri, and like having them on the covers as their characters, or if it's just going to be like drawn like as if it's like a normal person in a costume or something. But that's what I heard. That's what it said. So
oh, wow.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that.
That's awesome.
It really shows that the whole cosplay community and concept is great, gaining ground really quick over the last couple of years, actually.
Right. All right. So some of the people that have signed up are Nathan Batchelor. He's going to be at Century 3. Todd Allen Smith is going to be at Pittsburgh Mills. Who else got back to me?
Do you want to toss out some like what they are for?
Nate Batchelor does like all kinds of stuff. He does our normal shows. He's a local guy. He also cosplays as Matt Smith, Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
But he does some really cool art. Jack Vassery is going to be at Cranberry.
Oh, okay. I know.
I'm trying to remember. Somebody's going to be at Butler. Todd Allen Smith does a lot of cool... He's the official Star Wars card guy.
Oh, wow.
Like, he does all the official Star Wars card art, like, for Tops, I think it is.
Okay.
So, if you know any of those, like, that's his art. He's a really great guy. I've gotten to know him a lot over the last couple cons I've done. And then Jack Vassery's going to be at Cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
He's super cool, first off.
Yeah, he is.
But he's just like, he does this really cool, like, old school, like almost like comic strip art.
Yeah.
And he does these like really funny covers mm-hmm. all the time. So there's some really cool stuff. And I actually found a bunch of blank covers. Now I might have him do something cool for me. I wish I could remember who it was.
But something for everybody, you know, listening to do, and this is something that is fun to do at cons, if you know, any con, like when you go to Wizard World Pittsburgh this year, or if you're lucky enough to go to San Diego, or at our cons, or you know, for our Too Cool for Con thing, and you come up to the artists, kind of cheap is buy a sketch pad, and then instead of like necessarily buying one of their prints, maybe have them sketch you something cool. Most of them always have some sort of rate where it's like, oh, a simple sketch, whatever it is, $20, and a more detailed sketch or a full body sketch is like, you know,
right.
30, 40. Sometimes it's nice because it's more personal, and it's, you know, you can ask for a specific character that they might not already have a stock print of. And it's a lot. Plus, it's a way to interact with the artist and actually get to talk to them a little bit, other than just, hey, I want this one. Here's $10. Bye. Thanks. You know, you can maybe chat with them.
Right. Eric Watkins from Broken Icon Comics. He's totally down. He's going to be at Century 3. And he's going to have an exclusive cover just for that day, for us. It's going to be cool. And Dan Gorman is going to be in Butler. That's who it was. So it's okay. I think it's Dan. Yeah, Dan Gorman going to be in Butler that day. All the guests, I believe, are going to be, I think it's 10 to 6. Everybody, they're going to be set up. Butler and Century 3, or I'm sorry, Butler Cranberry are only going to have a couple people, like two. But the Mills also have the T-Fizz guys here.
Nice. Okay, that's cool.
The Mills and Century 3 are going to have like 4 to 5 people each.
Right.
We'll get the space for it. So it's like mini cons in each of the stores. It's going to be nuts.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to do some other cool sales. I just can't talk about them yet because we haven't confirmed for sure what they're going to be.
Ooh, teaser trailer.
So more to come on that. But it's a good time. We're going to have a blast. July 25th is Elwood's anniversary sale. So our normal anniversary stuff going on there. And September 5th is the next free graphic novel day. So we got some time for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But summer's kind of like spread out. There's not like a whole lot of crazy going on.
Well, but that's good. I mean, you don't. It's
summer. Everybody people goes to cons and
people are going
to
be going out, you know, vacations, right. It's best that
right,
way.
Right. All right. So let's talk some comics. My first book is Fight Club 2, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So this takes place a little later from the first one. And I'll be honest, I remember the movie. It was okay. Like, it wasn't super awesome for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought it for the David Mack cover. And I read it because my wife's a big Fight Club fan. So I thought, well, I'll read it. And if I like it, maybe she'll like it. And, and whatever, and get her into comics. No. I did like it. It was really, really good. It takes place, about 8 years after the first one.
Okay.
And the main character, Edward Norton's character, who was also Brad Pitt.
Right.
In the first one. Do you remember that the girl he was obsessed with and
not the one he ended up with, right?
No, the one.
What's her face?
Yeah, the one he ended up with. He was more in love with the Brad Pitt side of him.
Okay, the one that's in every single movie by.
Yeah.
Her husband.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can't remember anybody's name now. What the heck? I'm blanking on all names.
Anyway, it's all right. It's been a long day. So that girl, she ends up having a kid with him,
mm-hmm.
but the kid is 8 or 10 and he already knows how to make gunpowder and all this stuff. And the main character, he went to jail for a while for all the crap he did. Right. And then he's been on psych meds the whole time, but she's messing with his psych medicine so that the Brad Pitt side of him comes out.
Right.
And you see her putting sugar into them and putting aspirin and stuff. And he's taking them thinking they're going to work and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him still go around to places. He goes to a bar and the bartender has the lips tattoo and he's your money's no good here, sir. And he goes to somewhere else and they're your money's no good here, sir. That kind of thing. Yeah. And they all have bruised faces and crap. And it's awesome. It totally is it's a very well done sequel to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super good. So check it out. I'm probably going to keep reading it.
If you can, because it flies off our shelves whenever we
get. Yeah, right? Yeah, it totally flew off the shelves. Actually, the writer, who was the guy who also wrote the movie, was at Carnegie Library in West Mifflin or Homestead? Homestead? Homestead.
Probably, yeah.
A couple weeks ago. To promote the book, and he did a talk, and he gave everyone in the audience a signed copy of number one.
Nice.
It was nuts. Cool. So, but definitely check it out. And that's Fight Club 2, number one.
All right.
If you can find it, read it.
Yeah. All right. So I'm trying to grab comics that are closer to issue number one so that I can, not be jumping in the middle of a story arc and stuff and speak better to them. So I just grabbed this one that was at number two. It's called Scarlet Couture.
I've heard good things about it.
Really?
Because yeah.
I didn't like it at all.
Really?
It was pretty lame. It's almost the artwork is meh.
Maybe if you would have read number one, Brian.
Yeah, I don't think so. it's the artwork's weird. It's almost like the Batman animated show, but not as good.
I like it. It's got like a like it does have that similar like '90s cartoon style.
Yeah, but it also looks a little like I don't know, not like the person's not quite finished with art school yet or something. But yeah, so the whole premise is that, and this is actually something that's been done in different forms before, and I think it's partially based in reality. Is that, you know, well, not the model aspect of it, but during one of the major, was it World War One or World War Two, certain celebrities were supposedly like spies for the U.S. government.
Yeah,
because they were able to tour and they were in, you know, other countries, and people, you know, they no one thought they were a threat because they're just a stupid actor, blah blah blah, and they were able to get in and get information and smuggle it back out. So this follows that line of thinking where it's supermodels.
Oh.
So there is a subdivision of the CIA that recruits young models and teaches them to be super spies.
Oh.
And so they still do the runway walk, all that stuff, but then when they're in the countries or whatever, they can go off and do like assassinations and they can do
what?
Stuff. And it sounds, that kind of sounds cool, but so you're following.
So it's very similar to like that Red One book you read. Sort of.
Well,
or similar premise.
She's not a supermodel. Like, she's just super hot.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's another female-based super spy kind of thing.
Right.
But it's like, you know, the lead character, you know, is like the daughter of a former model spy as well.
Right.
But now the mother runs the division. And she's like supposedly they're one of their top agents. And it's just not interesting. It's just kind of lame. It's like a lot of talking that isn't interesting. And
right.
Like, you know, it's like, okay, well, I don't mind non-action if you have an interesting story, but it's just talking about that. It's like explaining Project Stardust or whatever. And or that's, I think that's part two of four. So Project Stardust is the arc.
Oh.
And you know, and you meet like one of their bigger agents, I think, has gone missing. So the lead is going in to find out what happened to her. So they're investigating like a crime scene.
Right.
And it's like her father is actually head of the police department in New York, I think it is. Yeah, New York. So the father and the mother are divorced. So.
Oh, okay.
But so she's got this backing from like, and it's kind of funny. That's an interesting take.
It kind of looks like Jim Gordon.
Yeah, exactly. He, the one portion is that she explains how they're divorced because the father divorced her, the wife, because of the lies that he didn't realize she was this major spy.
Oh.
And she was putting their lives in danger because someone found out that she was a spy. And now their daughter was a target, like
okay.
Their young daughter. And he flipped out and he's like, how could you do this to the family? Da-da-da. You should have told me. And so they had this major fight and they got divorced and they hate each other. But when the daughter told him that she was following in the same footsteps, he actually told her he was proud of her.
Oh.
Because like she was upfront about it, and she's like, "This is what I'm doing with my life to try and make a difference." He's like, "Well, okay, that's your choice." And like,
that works.
So that's an interesting, you know. And it seems like she has a good relationship with the father, but of course, they made the mother a stereotypical cold bitch kind of character, and it's like, really, how cliche can you be? Because she's got, you know, plus she's the model,
right.
She's the aging model type, whatever. It's just. Yeah, I mean,
it's cool though.
I wouldn't really recommend it. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't get to read
me.
Number one. I have it. I just didn't get to read it yet.
Okay.
So maybe if I read number one, it would be
find it
slightly
better.
All right, my other book is Secret Wars 2099 number one, because I love Peter David.
Peter David is awesome.
Peter David is awesome. So, it starts out in Nueva York.
Right.
2099.
Home of Spidey 2099.
Yep. So this is part of the Secret Wars thing. So like, it's like an altered version of 2099. So like, the Avengers that are here are Captain America, Iron Man, a Hawkeye who actually has wings. He's like a hawk.
Mm-hmm.
Hercules and Black Widow.
Okay.
So it starts out with like the girl who's Black Widow is like out at a dinner date with her friend, and then she gets called in. She has to go do the thing. The Avengers go and like beat some dudes' butts. Iron Man obviously does the cool blast thing. Everybody's wondering who Captain America is because they're like, no women should have that much, that many muscles and blah blah blah. And then like, so after it's all over, like Hercules is, he's trying to like. He's super trash, and he's trying to hit on the girl that he saved, And she's just like, let go of me. And he's like, I said I would pay for your vehicle's damage. Now calm yourself. And she's like, I said let go. And she smacks him and like hurts her hand because he's Hercules.
Right.
And he's just like, well, that was my mistake. And then like Captain America punches him in the face and is like, how dare you be a chauvinist pig? And like,
I
you
should treat, saw that part. That was
should
cool.
treat women with respect and stuff. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I liked that part.
Yeah, I did too.
So then Captain America goes back to Alchemax to report back to her boss, who is Miguel O'Hara.
What?
Except he's not Miguel O'Hara. He's
Miguel Stone?
Yeah. Is Miguel he? Stone.
Wow.
He's totally Miguel Stone. So then she's like, all right, cool, you don't need me. So she takes off her helmet, and as she walks away, she converts back into her other personality, which is like this Roberta person who has no idea that she's actually Captain America.
Okay.
And it's very, very cool because then like she gets this call from her husband and her kid. And she's like, what'd you do today? He's like, oh, you know, push papers, blah, blah, blah. And then the kid's like, oh, I got like this on the paper. And yeah. She's like, oh, well, that's good. And the other one's like, yeah, not so much. And whatever. She's like, all right, well, I'll be home and stay away from those Avengers. So it's blah, 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 blah. And so then Miguel goes talks to Hercules. And Hercules, you find out, has been hitting the sauce pretty hard because he killed his wife and kids.
Oh.
He's like, these hands did that. And so he's like, yeah, you're cut off. So, and then you see Iron Man go and, he talks to Vision, and Vision is like this dude in a pool. Like, I think he was like that in the other 2099 stuff too, if I remember right.
Hmm.
And he's just like, you're going to see some enemies soon. And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah, I see new enemies and they're called the Defenders. And that's where it ends. And you're just like, what? The Defenders. but it was probably one of the best Secret Wars tie-in books I've read. And it might just be because it's Peter David and it's 2099 and he's the architect of that universe.
Right. I mean, he did both versions of Spider-Man in 2099.
Yeah. It's awesome to hear people say like, what the shock and where the shock and stuff like that. And I was just like, that's funny. Like, I love the fact that he's still doing that. And it didn't change too much, but it definitely is a cool take on everything that's going on right now and with the Secret Wars tie-in, because it didn't keep flipping back to the Doom thing and all the Thors and crap. So I dug it. I definitely would recommend it for people. If you like the 2099 universe, you know anything about it, even if you don't and you just like Peter David, check it out. We still have a couple in stock as well. So
like, we discussed this before, and this is a good question I think for the podcast. One of my because I'm going to talk about one of the Secret Wars tie-ins as well. It's like, I don't completely understand how these are working. Like, so are we to believe that this 2099 world is a piece of Battle World sitting right next to one of the other ones? They just don't know about each other?
Yeah.
Really?
As far as I know, because like,
doesn't make any sense.
Doom basically goes, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to screw up all their timelines, and then I'm going to put them in different chunks on the planet. So
but
it's
like,
very
how
weird.
Do they not realize that they can't fly to Japan or something because like, Japan doesn't exist at that point or whatever?
I don't know.
Because they don't have an entire planet. Each section is not an entire planet's worth of space.
Right.
So
I don't know.
They have to be hitting into the walls going, what's on the other side of this?
Well, they talk about that big wall in regular Secret Wars. And I haven't read 3 yet, so I don't know. Anyway, what book are you talking about?
I will be talking about Future Imperfect.
Okay, cool. The other Peter David book.
Yes, and Future Imperfect is one of my favorite.
Is that the one with the maestro?
Yes.
Nice.
So, with the Secret Wars tie-ins, they seem to fall on like one of two sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's either continuations of storylines, or solely on the Battle World,
or like alternate versions into the Battle World. Yeah.
It seems like there's either Battle World stuff where they know Battle World exists, or stuff like Old Man Logan and Secret Wars where they're either continuations of a true original story and something that just doesn't acknowledge it. So in Future Imperfect acknowledges the Battle World.
Okay.
And the way it starts is you're this girl who's like got kind of red skin and she's walking through.
Is it Ruby?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, it's Ruby. Nice. Ruby, she's walking through the desert, and she finds this guy, like, all in tatters and stuff like that.
Right.
In the middle, and she's like, you know, and that's why. Like, she sneaks out into this desert to, like, look for people and stuff like that. And she finds him, and it's Odin.
What?
He's got the patch, and he's like, I used to be called Odin. And, like, and you kind of think, like, whoa, wait, is this, like, real Odin from real timeline? And he's like, because that's how he plays it. So it's like, she finds him, and he's all weak. And she's like, wait, you mean the Odin? And they go back and forth, and she's carrying him back to the city to get him, you know, some food and water and stuff like that, help him out. And he's the way that he's talking, it leads you to believe that he is the Odin from 616 that we know.
Right.
And that he kind of remembers stuff.
Right.
So they get there, and they're talking about how their land is ruled by Maestro. And,
right.
You know, which, is a future version of Hulk, who's got the big beard. He's killed, like, most of the heroes.
Big jerk.
Yeah, and he's a complete jerk.
Yeah.
So they get into their secret compound because Ruby is part of the Resistance. And they are trying to find a way to undermine Maestro and take back their section of Battle World. She's thinking, wow, we've got Odin on our side now. If we can get him back up and running to full strength, he can be a major asset to us. So, you know, she brings him to their hideout, and she knows, like, oh, this is great. And she gets one of the other characters who has, like, the ability to, like, read auras or whatever. And it's like,
yeah,
we just need you to, you know, so-and-so to scan you to make sure that you're Odin.
Right.
Or, you know, and we'll figure this all out. And he's like, okay. And so the person comes in and starts to scan him and then freaks out. And she's like, that's not Odin. And he just starts laughing. And he's like, of course I'm not. And he starts to go green and morphs. And it's Maestro. And he clocks, like, you know, Ruby and sends her flying. Because like, it's Ruby Summers.
Right.
So she's,
for those of you who don't know, that is, that's Scott Summers and Emma Frost's child.
Yeah.
Who, like, has something wrong with her. And if she comes out of Ruby form, she'll die.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, and she also has the optic blasts in this one, which is cool. So she, like, fires them. And so there's this not a huge fight, because it's like, there's only a few people there, and they try to stop him. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, well, this isn't what we wanted, but Maestro's in front of us.
Right.
Kill him now, you know? And then, so they attack him, and he lay waste to them. And she tries to jump in, and he's like, oh, I've heard about you. You know, you're not bad, but you're not, like, a, you know, ruby crystal quartz can be destroyed, you know?
Right.
And he starts to squeeze, and he's like, wow, you're stronger than I thought you were. As he keeps squeezing, and she starts to finally crack.
Oh.
And he's like, that's what I thought. You know, and he slams her down or something like that. And then I'm not going to ruin anything, because it is a cool ending. But she's like, yeah, I was just stalling, you know, because she's taking him back to see the boss. And she's like, hey, boss. And he turns around, and it's like, well, I wasn't expecting you. And then final page is who it is, and I'm not going to say.
Ugh.
But it's pretty cool.
Now I really want to read it. But it's Peter David, so I'll read it anyway.
Yeah. And but it was a decent read. Out of the Secret Wars stuff that I've read, it's probably, like, my second favorite one. A couple of them I read, now, that I just didn't like at all.
Right.
But this one, I recommend, if you're a fan of the original Future Imperfect, there really isn't much of a tie-in other than it's Maestro. So
right.
far, you know, so don't expect it to be like any kind of cool continuation with Hulk versus Hulk yet.
Right.
But even so, it's cool to see Maestro again, and it's a pretty decent
word.
Story.
Cool. All right. I'm going to talk about a graphic novel real quick, because we haven't done that in a while. So while I was going through my comics yesterday, I realized I have a stack of graphic novels that I need to read. And some of the stuff is stuff I own. I just wanted to reread, like Frank Miller's Daredevil and Batman No Man's Land. Like, I have all the trades sitting there. And
right.
Like, iZombie, I was going to reread that because of the show. And there's, like, one or two other things. Like, I was going to reread that Zatanna and Black Canary book. And the one that I chose to start with was Batman Earth 1 Volume 2, which is the continuation of the Geoff Johns, Gary Frank thing. It's a hardcover. They put it out not too long ago, but if you haven't read it, it's amazing. The first one, the first volume was like how he became Batman, and he, you know, he fought the Penguin, and then Alfred shoots the Penguin in the end of the first one, and they blame it on the Batman. In this one, it's like Batman realizes that for like the very first couple pages, he realizes he needs a car that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
And then as it goes on, like Harvey Dent is involved, and his sister's the mayor, and his sister went to high school with Bruce, and Alfred like doesn't trust anybody, and the Killer Croc's like living in the sewer, and Jim Gordon is trying to like figure out what's going on with all these crazy things, and the Riddler is killing people. So the very first thing Riddler does is he has all these people in an elevator and he gives them the riddle and they can't figure it out, and within the time frame. So the last thing he says is like, he was too short to hit the 13th button, and he's like, you guys lose, and it just the elevator falls and crashes and they die.
Oh wow.
So the Riddler's like killing people as they go. So Batman's like trying to find the Riddler, trying to deal with these crime dudes that took over for Penguin, runs into Killer Croc, who ends up not being that bad of a dude. He's just like, I live in the sewer because everybody hates me. Remember? And trying to trust Commissioner Gordon, even though he's Detective Gordon still. Gordon's dealing with Bullock because he's like a big drunk. And he's just spending all his time drinking. But Lucius Fox is in it, and he builds him a car and stuff. And when it comes down to the end where he gets to show off, face off against the Riddler, it's super awesome. If you liked the first one, you're going to like this. It was very informative. The art is phenomenal. Or not informative. It was a very good read. Mm-hmm. It was very flowing. It wasn't dull moments ever. And there's a really cool scene where Harvey Dent gets a Molotov cocktail shoved on his face and it breaks across his face, and that's how he ends up becoming Two-Face.
Ooh, okay.
Oh man, is it good? there are just scenes in there you're just like, what? But it's in hardcover. Definitely check it out. We got all the stores have a couple of them. They're $24.99 a piece. They come sealed in plastic, and they're really nice. They look really good on a shelf. Definitely check it out. I recommend
nice.
It. So stuff coming out this coming week, because we totally everything has already changed over. So these will be out June 10th, this coming Wednesday. We have 1602 Witch Hunter Angela number 1, which is I think a Secret Wars tie-in.
Yep. That's a Marvel thing, yeah. 1602. Yep.
That's kind of cool. I want to check that out. Adventures of Arrow Girl 2, Angry Birds 12, Arrow 2.5 number 9, Batman number 41, Batman Superman 21, Bill and Ted number 4, Birthright 8, Captain America Mighty Avengers 9, Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps number 1, which is one of this month's Ladies Comic Night books.
Yes,
along with right. A-Force number 1. So end of the month, they're reading them. Check them out. They're very good. Catwoman number 41. Constantine the Hellblazer 1, which is different than Constantine. It's different than Hellblazer. It's them rebooting it again. But I think it's still picking up where it is. But it might be... I think it's the old Constantine from old 52.
Okay.
But I'm not sure yet. I'm going to read it probably and check it out. Definitely, if you like that kind of stuff, check it out. Copperhead 8, Detective 41, Doctor Who the 11th Doctor, or 10th Doctor, number 11, 11th Doctor, number 11, Drones, number 3, Earth 2 Society, number 1, which is Justice Society, if you don't know that, 4 Points, number 3, Fox, number 3, Grim Fairy Tales, Robin Hood, 11, Ghost Racers, number 1, which is a Marvel Secret War tie-in. It's all the different Ghost Riders.
Interesting.
Gotham Academy 7, Harley Quinn 17, Harrow County 2, Harvester 5, Hero Cat 6, Hit 1957 3, Howard the Duck number 1 reprints, Howard the Duck number 2 reprints, Inferno number 2, Inhumans Adelon Rising number 2. First issue of that was pretty good, by the way. Injustice God Among Us, Year 4, number 3.
It's amazing how that comic has taken off from the game, man.
I know, right?
You don't even hear about the game anymore, but the comic just keeps going.
I know. It's 4 volumes in. That's crazy. Insufferable, number 2. Itty Bitty Comics, Grim Island 4. Kanan, Last Padawan 3. Lady Rawhide, Lady Zorro 3. Lantern City 2. Legendary Vampirella 5. Little Depressed Boy 5. long distance number one, looking for group three, Marvel Universe Avengers Assemble season two, number eight, Marvel Zombies number one, which is a Secret Wars Battle World tie-in, Marvel Ant-Man Prelude trade, if you haven't read it and you want to get prepped for the movie, Max Ride First Flight number three, Miami Vice Remix number four, Midnight Society, The Black Lake one, Mouse Guard, Legends of the Guard, Volume 3, number one, Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos, number one, which is also a Secret Wars tie-in.
Yeah, there's a million.
My Little Pony Friendship is Magic 31.
It's also a Secret Wars tie-in. No, I'm just kidding.
Which is also it's a Convergence tie-in. Right. What are you talking about?
Sorry.
New Suicide Squad, number nine. New Zodiac, number three. Nightwing Volume 2, this is the old Chuck Dixon and Scott McDaniel stuff. It's awesome. Definitely check it out. Nutmeg, number one, Volume 1. Big Con Job 4, let's see, Popeye Classics 35, boom, with cover by Joe Wass. Princess Leia number 3, also a Secret Wars time, no, Rachel Rising 24,
time, they're both Disney.
Reanimator number 3, Rebels 3, Red Hood Arsenal number 1, which is funny because now it's just no Starfire. Regular Show 24, Roche Limit 2, Steampunk Snow Queen 2, Savage Dragon 204, Saviors 3, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You 58, Secret Wars 2099 number 2, Secret War War Journal 2, Section 8 number 1, which is a new DC book, Silk number 5, Silver Surfer 12, Sonic the Hedgehog 273, Spider-Gwen number 5, Spider-Verse number 2, which is a Secret Wars tie-in. Is a Secret Wars tie-in.
Yeah, and I liked Spider-Verse number 1. I read that. That was fun.
It was weird because it was just like, how do these people not know that they're intertwining? But anyway, SpongeBob 45, Starfire number 1. That's why. She's got her own book.
Of course.
Hey.
Mid-belly drift everywhere.
Right. I don't like this outfit. Anyway, Swords of Star of Vampirella, Jennifer Blood number 2, Fox number 3, Ninja Turtle Classic number Color Classic 6, Transformers Wingblade, Combiner Wars 3. There are a lot of books this week. Jeez. Ultimate End number 2, which is a Secret Wars tie-in. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl 1, 2, 3, and 4 reprints, which all tie together into Eats Nuts, Kicks Butts covers.
Very weird.
So make sure you check that out. Uncle Scrooge number 3, Unity 19, Weird World 1, Exo Manowar 25th Anniversary Special number 1, and Zombies vs. Robots number 6. So much stuff. And I thought I'm gonna log into Diamond here and see when this other thing is coming out, but I swear there was something else coming out that I wanted to tell you guys about. So give me a second while I do that. But we can talk about, we just had a Star City IQ on Sunday.
Right.
It was a standard event. It was at our Mills location. We had 26 players, which is awesome for a Sunday.
Yeah.
It was really good. Like, I don't think anybody went away super disappointed. I think a lot of people had fun. We had a bunch of cool dudes come out and hang out with us for it. Yeah, that's weird. So also this week coming out is Stray, the graphic novel, which is done by our friend and yours, Vito Del Sante. So
right.
Make sure you come out and check that out. I was like, why didn't I see it? Maybe let me check that. Our website again to make sure it's coming, but it's supposed to come out this week. Maybe I just missed it. I don't know. Craig Pringle won our event after seven rounds of stuff.
Well,
if you count the the extra stuff that you have to play, the extra. It's not showing up. Why is that weird? Anyway, the three rounds of single limb at the end.
Oh.
So okay. There were four rounds of regular, or five rounds, sorry. So it was eight.
Mm-hmm.
8 rounds total played.
Wow.
A lot of our regulars were here. A couple of them in top 8. But congratulations to Craig. I actually, like, I was talking to him later, and I actually remember playing a couple games with him at Geeka Jerome over in Brookline,
yeah,
because that's where he normally plays. My buddy Paul owns the shop. So, and I live right by there, so I went down there for like a Modern night one night,
mm-hmm,
and before we really did anything with Modern, and that's where he was. That's where I remember him from. And I was like, I think I remember you. And he's like, yeah, I think so too. And I was like, yeah, are you playing here? And he's like, yeah. So, but it was a really good time. We're going to schedule another one here for probably in the fall.
Nice.
We're also going to be scheduling one for Century 3 in the either the fall or the early winter times. So that's pretty much what we're doing.
Well, I'm excited for Origins, which is coming up in about a month, really.
Yeah.
A little more than a month, but just a couple days.
Actually,
pre-release is...
A month and 3 days.
Yeah, pre-release starts, the 10th and 11th?
The 11th and 12th.
11th and 12th, okay. And then
so that's Saturday, Sunday.
The 17th, I believe it is release.
Yes.
Of the day, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm excited because I'm actually going to participate in one of the pre-releases here at the Mills. I've never done a tournament before because, I suck at Magic, but I figure I just want to do it just because it's fun.
It's all right.
Plus, you get some of the cool stuff early, and
right,
I figure it's my best chance because even though everyone else will be like hounding the sites and reading every single
leaked card that
comes up, and they'll know their strategies already, still it's about the luck of the draw. So I could still get a better draw than the guys that know Magic inside and out, so that I might have a good chance of like maybe winning one or two, and like not being dead last. So I think it'll be a fun time.
Yeah, I
and I'm just excited for the set because I really want, now that they haven't shown pictures, but they've released the names of like all the planeswalkers that they're doing.
Yeah.
And so I want the flip version of Liliana and Nissa.
Yeah.
Now that I know Nissa's in there, I want those.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet.
Black and green are my favorite colors to play.
Fair.
So
you're very Golgari kind of guy.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
It's the guild from Ravnica that's black and green.
Okay. I kind of figured it was something like that.
But that's pretty awesome. Other than that, I'll be in New Orleans for it, so it's gonna be crazy because I'm either gonna have to find a place down there to play, or I'm gonna have to actually not play in a pre-release for the first time in
blasphemy
10 years or something. Like, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'm gonna do. I might actually literally try to find a place down there.
Sure,
if I can find a midnight pre-release place, that'd be kind of cool too.
Yeah.
But I'll be in New Orleans with 1,000 of my fraternity brothers. So
nice.
I'm sure someone else might be like, hey, we should go to this pre-release.
Yeah. Oh, there's gotta be some
But it'll be cool. It's my first time to New Orleans. So that'll be fun
awesome.
Too. Trying to think. Other than that, I don't think I really have anything else to talk about. There was no uber big nerd news. Oh, no, I do have one thing that's really cool. All right, so Sex Criminals number 12.
Oh, I think we're talking about this, so go ahead.
So it's going to come in a black poly bag. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to tell what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
The one variant that's solicited is a XXX Brian Lee O'Malley variant.
Okay.
Okay.
God.
So imagine what Brian Lee O'Malley art looks like as porn.
Yeah.
Because that's what that is. And then Matt Fraction and Zach, I can never say his last name, right? The writer and the artist for the book,
mm-hmm,
locked themselves in a hotel room for 16 hours and just sketched on a whole bunch of random blank covers, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent them back to the printer, or they sent them back to Image. And Image is going to sporadically put those original arts throughout the release in those black poly bags.
Wow.
And you're not going to know which cover you get until you open it.
That is awesome.
So I told Ryan, I was like, I want you to order 50 copies of this book because I'm going to take a stack of them and I'm going to open each one until I find one that's their cover, and I will buy all of those books.
Darn right you will.
Damn right I will. Because I really want one. That's awesome. Because they're not going to be repeats. They're all going to be just different stuff. And I don't want to have to buy one on eBay. I'd rather, I bet if I find one the amount that I would pay for all of the other ones that I've opened is not going to be anywhere near what it's going to be like on eBay trying to buy one.
Yeah, it sounds.
Yeah. So it's very, very cool. I'm very excited about
it. That's a real fun thing to do, I think. I mean, you know, I'm not 100% on, is it Sex Criminals?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not 100% on board with that comic. I've flipped through it and I understand the concept. It just seems kind of weird. Well, obviously it is weird, but it just doesn't grab me, but it's
still
awesome.
Dude, the pitch every time, it suckers everybody.
It's always...
Because it's awesomely weird. Two people realize they can freeze time when they climax and they decide to rob a bank. And first trade's $10.
Yeah, well...
Boom. People buy it.
Okay, I don't doubt it.
And it's really funny, though.
It's a fun thing for them to do for their fans. I think that's awesome.
And it's cool, though, because if you look at the main characters of John and... what the hell's her name? Stacy? No. Susie. John and Susie. They look like Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Except,
yeah.
It would be like Kelly Sue without the glasses on and Matt when he shaves his beard. That's what they look like. And it's just funny because if you know that, and then you read the book, you're just like, oh, man, how much of this stuff did they work in from their real life? although Matt Fraction does claim that he has a shirt that says, I'm a Brimper or Brimper. And then people always have to ask what that is. And it's... If you don't know what that is, you need to find out because it's awesome or weird, depending on how you want to look at it.
Right.
Mostly weird. But other than that, I mean, there's some pretty cool other stuff, I guess, coming up. Like Heroes Con is in 2 weeks in North Carolina. It's a huge comic convention on the East Coast. We're actually premiering a huge, huge Golden Age collection there. So if you're into Golden Age stuff.
I remember hearing about that Golden Age collection, yes.
Yeah, if you're into Golden Age stuff, go check that out. If you haven't been to our Elwood City store for a while, we've remodeled a bit. And we added a bunch of bookcases and trade paperbacks. Our trade paperback selection there is insane. And we've just this week, we've audited a whole bunch of stuff from there into the Mills. So the Mills has now four full bookcases, more trades.
Yes. It looks fantastic. you definitely need to come and check it out. It took
5 days.
Ryan and Travis and Charles did a great job, and it took them three, four days to tore it apart. Moved everything, and now everything looks it's not tight. So we still have room to get more trades and filter them in as we go. But everything, every single bookshelf that used to have statues on them now is nothing but trades.
Yep, so definitely come and check that out. It's crazy.
If you weren't able to find stuff here before, come back, because we're probably going to have it now.
Right. I don't really have anything else. It's been kind of a boring...
Couple of weeks.
Yeah, nothing crazy has been announced. Nothing nuts. So, so this will be a short one. But thanks, guys, for listening. And, we're going to try to make these a little more... I hate the fact that they're 2 to 3 weeks apart sometimes, but we're really busy. But all for good reasons.
Yes, to make it better for you, the customer.
That's right. Dang you, customers, and having to buy things all the time and... us having to make cooler choices of what we buy and load the store with more cool stuff for you. Mm-hmm. What about me? No, just kidding. We do it all for you guys, and that's why we don't care. So, that's why we don't care that we're doing it, not that we don't care about you, because we do care about you.
You're just digging deeper, man.
Sorry.
No one even knows what you're talking about.
All right. Not at Con Day. Make sure you come out for it. Also, remember Free T-Shirt Day next Saturday. Definitely come out.
All the stores. Check them out.
Yeah. I'll be in Cranberry.
Okay.
So if you want to come and show me your weird cape, I will. Or no, sorry. That's Free Comic Con Day. If you want to come and get a free T-shirt from me personally, I will be in Cranberry in the evening. If you want to get one from Brian, he will be at Mills in the morning till 6. Mm-hmm. So come on out. I may or may not, if there are still hot dogs left in Cranberry, be grilling on Saturday.
That's awesome.
I know, right? Yeah. So I may be able to give you a free T-shirt and a free hot dog.
That's awesome.
Just saying.
Hey.
Free lunch.
$10.
$10 and purchase. Free hot dogs.
Yeah.
So. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, everybody.